Thank you so much for letting me speak today. And I know Phil was here at the first service, and Phil is a great friend. Phil is actually an amazing handyman. I don't know if you've heard the stories about some of the things that he's done at his house. It's incredible. I'm like, you did what? Phil, I need to hang up this mirror in my room. Can you, like, help me? But I'm so glad today to be able to speak from the subject of the kingdom of loving relationships. And like Megan said, I'm recently married, been married a year and 5 months, and I already have a 7-month-old son. Yeah, if you do the math, kind of happened right away. We're like, thank you, Jesus. Wasn't exactly our plan, but hey, God has other plans. They're doing really well. Asa is when he was born like pretty early. He was really small, really slim. He was like third percentile for weight. My man is kind of plumped up. I look at him like, bro, you're kind of thick, man. Like, you got some legs on you. Like, I'm like trying to figure out, like, did he get it from me, from his mom? I don't think he got it from either. Like, let me look down, like, our line, like, see where this came from. I'm like, hey, I love it. I squeeze him. I kiss him. But today, I'm super excited to talk. And wherever you find yourself in this room, whether you just came from class and you're like, you know, you're ready to eat lunch, it's literally almost 12. I am going to try my best to get done soon. But I want to read from the book of John, 1 John, starting in chapter 4, and this is where we'll kind of direct this plane. I'm like considering myself a pilot now. It says this, beloved, that's you, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Moving on, it says, in this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. Verse 10, that's where I'll end. It says, in this love, it's not that we have loved God, but he has loved us. It's not that we have loved God, but he has loved us. And I want to talk from just the premise of what does it look like to live in a loving community? What does it look like to live in a loving community? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for this community, this group of students and leaders in this room. God, we know that you have a plan, God, for every single person, God, in this room. I might not know their names and their stories, God, but you know every detail of their lives. And we ask that you would speak to us and help the Seahawks get another win. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm not gonna brag or anything, but I also get to help with like the Seahawks chapels, and I did the last one and when we won, so I take credit. We actually, there's three of us who usually do the chapels, and we have like a record of like how many games have they won after we did the chapels. I think my record is like 7-1, so it's pretty good. So you guys want me to do their chapel as well. I'm just hoping that they have me come back. But when you think about the subject of loving relationships, I know when I was in the seat that you're sitting in, when I was in college, I entered into college 2012. So it was a little bit of a different time. It's crazy. In like a few months, that would be 10 years ago. I don't look like I'm that old, I promise. 26. I got into college, I just turned 17, I was young, but I know one thing to be true, that I was looking for a loving relationship, to find a spouse. I'm not gonna lie, when I showed up to college for the first time, I'm like, yo, God, you said you're a provider. You better provide. I know I'm 17, no job, no car, no license. But I'm ready to go. God, you provide. You are a provider. So now I'm like finding myself. I went to Seattle U, and it wasn't like the big, there was a very small faith community. So it was like at school, it was very slim pickings. There wasn't like, you know, I was looking for someone who was like, you know, loved Jesus, and there wasn't a ton of people at the school who loved Jesus, so I found myself attending a lot more church groups, co-ed groups. I found myself hanging out at the intern dorms more. I found myself just, when I was in these settings, like just, they say, you know, that we don't have eyes in the back of our head. Well, when I was in a setting where it was like, my potential future spouse may be here, you better believe I had eyes in the back of my head. I met a guy, this is in 2012, when Instagram was like, I had just downloaded Instagram, not many people were on it. And I met a guy who was like, yep, me and my wife, yeah, we met on Instagram. When I heard that, I was like, awesome. Now another place to potentially find my future somebody. I'm not going to say by show of hands, raise your hand, if you've ever been there, because that would be embarrassing. I'm not embarrassed because I'm now married. But I remember having these conversations with my mom, like, Mom, what is going on? When am I going to find the right person? My mom, she's African, I'm from Zambia. She was like, Shaddai, you have to understand. It's in God's timing. And then she's like, you know what? I also think you probably already know your future wife. And I was like, where's she at then? I ain't met her yet. So you better come over here and point her out to me, Mom. And what's so funny thinking about that story is I actually did know my future wife at the time. So there might be a little bit of hope for you. You might know him. I'm just saying. I'm not going to make it awkward and be like, they might be in the same row as you. But now it's like, just a few tactics. It's like, you go on Instagram. Listen, we've been in quarantine for almost 2 years now. I'm like over-exaggerating. It's a year and a half. But Instagram, I already know, was a source for some of y'all. Let's just be honest. I'm not going to say raise your hand or anything again. I'm not going to put anyone on blast. But it's like one of the ways as Christians, it's like, so what service, like, do you attend at church? Like, that's your, like, in of, like, starting a conversation. It takes one to know one, you know? So nowadays, you get the response. Before, it was like, oh, I go to the 9 a.m. Like, now it's like, oh, I go to the online service. You're like, dang it, I'll never see you. So you have to find different tactics now. But loving relationship. Jesus, he wants us to know one thing when it comes to loving relationships. And I'm gonna tie this in with a conversation I have with my wife on the weekly. We ask each other at the beginning of the week, how can I love you better this week? How can I love you better this week? And you better believe this is not, when I give my answer, it is a little bit selfish. It's like, oh, I would really love it if you made peach cobbler. I didn't actually say that, but my wife made a peach cobbler last night, and it was awesome. I was like, oh, I do really, really love you. Oh, man, peach cobbler. We ask each other this question, how can I love you better this week? Well, no, I want to pose this to you as well, that before we can realize how to love somebody else, we first have to realize that we are loved. In 1 John 4, chapter 19, a couple verses down from what I read, this is the author, John. He says, we love because he first loved us. You think about love and relationships. Just for a second, can I get you to pause for a moment and pause about what you need to do and think about what you need to receive? You need to receive the love that Jesus has for you. Now, we don't love just to love. We don't love because it's an amazing and it's a cool thing to do. We actually love because he first loved us. Did you know that he first loved you? It is not about your love for God, but it is about God's love for you. Your love, I mean, we think about ourselves. We're pretty broken, fragmented, you know, hurting people. there's not much really to us. But then you add God to the mix, all of a sudden we change. We become loving beings. We become individuals who are able to bring something to the table. And so, you know, I asked the question in the last chapel, like, who here by show of hands can think of a relationship or a friendship or someone that you know that is really loving, and they really love their spouse, they really love their wife, or maybe they really love their son or their daughter or whoever it might be. And almost everyone's hand went up. I can think of somebody. And I asked the second question. I said, how do you know that that's love? What about their relationship makes you know that it's love that they display? We have to also understand what love really is. Scripture tells us that God is love, that his characteristics are a person who is loving. And it tells us how. It's like, hey, this guy, for God so loved the world that what did he do as a result of his love? He died. He sacrificed. He didn't have to die, you know that, right? He decided to die. One of my favorite songs. I was watching, I think it was about a year ago, Easter. No, it was 2 years ago. 2020 Easter, about a month into quarantine. And I'm like, I'm about to watch T.D. Jakes online Easter. And they put on this full, like, Easter display. It's like a play. They got black Jesus. I'm like, let's go. They got black Jesus. They got black Peter. I'm just, like, loving it. I'm eating it up. And they get to a point. It's the, it's awesome. There's, like, the scene. He's on the cross. My guy is tatted up. I'm like, yeah, Jesus was tatted. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. But they sing a song, and it's right before Jesus dies. And it's this song, and it's by this, I don't know who the artist is, but the song talks about how he decided to die. That even though he could have called angels to bring him down, he could have, in a moment, just changed the scenery, just changed the whole situation. No. Because he had you in mind, because he had me in mind, he went all the way through with his decision, and he died. And the amazing thing about this God, about this guy whose name is Jesus, what the good news is that he didn't stay dead. That he conquered death, he beat death. And so on the third day, death broke off of him, and he came alive. I love the story of Lazarus. Mary and Martha, they're like, Jesus, you need to get here. My brother is about to die. They knew something. They knew Jesus, that if he could get there in time, he could do what he had always done, and he could heal Lazarus. Jesus, being so funny as he is, takes 2 days to leave. Like, bro, my man is sick. Why would you not just go right away? Jesus out here taking his time. And guess what happens? He says, he's like, oh, don't worry. This isn't going to end in death. And guess what happens? Lazarus dies. So then on his way there, he gets there. Lazarus is dead. And they're like, if only you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus is like, you're going to see God like you've never seen him before. Because they had seen God heal and do miracles on people who were still living, but they hadn't seen God do something for someone who was dead. And so Jesus, in what seemed like he didn't care, in what seemed like he was taking his time, in what seemed like he said, Lazarus, see ya. He actually was setting it up to do something to Lazarus, do something for Lazarus that he had done for nobody before. Jesus, in his love, he wants to do in you that he's done for nobody before. He wants you to experience him in a new way. So guess what? You can have a story about this God who loved you while you were at your worst, who loved you while you were dead in your sins, who loved you when he didn't know from the right, from your left to right. Jesus, he wants to show you this love. One of my favorite songs, it's by this artist. She's from the 90s. Her name is Faith Evans. Anybody know Faith Evans? Come on. She has a song, and in the song it says, I never knew there was a love like this before. Dun, 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 dun. I never knew there was a love like this before. Oh, man, that's my song right there. That's my song. Guess what? Jesus wants you to know that he has a love that you've never experienced before. That is different from anybody else. That is not the same as the love a human can give you. It's different. And so we have to recognize, man, I'm loved. I am loved. You can look at yourself in the mirror and just say, when you wake up, before you put on your makeup, before you comb your hair, today I had to shave my beard so that this brown, which is, I'm very thankful that this mic is brown, that this brown mic would not scratch. I'm not kidding it. Like, but last time I was here, it was scratching, so I'm like, I gotta make sure. But like, before any of the changes that you make to your physical appearance, you gotta know that you're loved. You're not loved, the Bible says, that while we were still sinners, while we were at our worst, that's when Christ died. The Bible says that, man, we have been called. We have been called for such a time as this, that you can bring your full self. I attend the church I'm part of. I'm just going to keep it real. In Kirkland, we're in Kirkland, Washington. It's predominantly people who don't look like me. And so oftentimes I get mixed up for other people. The other day someone came up to me and was like, hey, were you just playing keyboard? I'm like, no, I'm not a musician. I wish I was. And the person they mixed me up with was someone who is about a foot shorter than me and has blue hair. And this is the third time I've been mixed up with this brother. And I'm like, I don't know how you've, I don't have an explanation. But guess what? Even in community, one of the ways that we can recognize how loved we are and how loved other people are is to recognize that our differences are actually a way that Jesus wants to show who he really is. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, it talks about, this is God talking, and he says, hey, let us make mankind in our image. Let's make them in our image. So you might look different than somebody. You might sound different than somebody. But guess what? You're not that different. We're all made in the image of God. My second point is this, is that Jesus, he's designed us for community. He's designed us for community. One of the things that I love about community is that actually, one of the things I dislike about community, let's go with that first. One of the things I dislike about community is that a lot of times we think that our community is meant to be lived with people that are just like us. Sometimes we might not even think about it, but we gravitate towards people who are similar to us, look like us, sound like us. I mean, look no further than our churches. Man, the body of Christ, one of the beauties of it is that God made us different on purpose. He gave each one, every single person in this room, he has given you a gift. He's given you a gift, and this gift is meant to be something that is not meant to plump you up or make you look cool, or make you be more confident in who you are. No, no, no. These gifts that have been given to you were meant to be a benefit to the community. They were meant to add value to those around you. I'm going to read just really fast in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4. Sorry, they don't have it, but I just want to read it. It says, God's various gifts are handed out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various ministries are carried out everywhere, but they originate in God's Spirit. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit to all kinds of people. Wise counsel, clear understanding, simple trust, healing the sick, miraculous acts, proclamation, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. God gives us these gifts. In verse 14, it says, and I know they have this one, it says, I want you to think about how all these things make you more significant, not less. All these things make you more significant, not less. What does that mean? It means that we actually find our significance in community. We don't find our significance in our differences. A lot of times it's like, oh, I'm really good at this. I want to be this. So that we can find significance. But the way to find a significance is actually the opposite. It's actually when you find your place in community, you find your place in how God has called you to be selfless and to love people and to bring your gift to add to what the community that Jesus wants to bring up is. And he wants us to know that, hey, your significance is when you're all together. Man, I don't find my significance when I'm alone over here, doing my own thing, trying to be something and trying to become something so that people can look at me and be like, oh, he's awesome. And I think sometimes when we look at the way society is, man, society tells us that we find our significance in our difference. But God is saying we find our significance in our similarity, and that similarity is that we've been made in the image of God. You're children of God, the Bible says. That's who you really are. You might have a last name and you might have all these things that are really cool about you that you could tell me about you, but guess what? Oh man, Megan even announced that I was able to attain the national high jump record. Guess what? That record is gonna be broken. And one day, that cannot be attached to my name. Because things on this earth, they change. It changes the way your hair color is. It changes me having hair. Hopefully, I pray to God, I always have hair. I'm not even going to say it might change because I'm believing it won't. But things change. People change. But you know what doesn't change? God. God is unchanging. I don't want to find who I am in something that is changing. Because who I am, I might look different tomorrow. I could shave my head. I could be walking here bald tomorrow. And you'd be like, who is that? But guess what? On the inside, I will still be the same. Because who I am is I'm a son of God. Who you are is you're a child of God. Don't forget that. Don't forget who you really are. Because in this society, it wants you to forget. It wants you to think. It wants you to define who you are. But can I tell you, God has already defined who you are. God has already said who you are. And I'm telling you, I don't want to be the person who decides who I am. I don't want to have that decision. No, no, no. I want to leave that up to God. I want him to decide on who I am. And my last point is this. It's that Jesus, first he designed us for community, and he also wants us in community. You know what that means? Basically, even though you were designed for community, it's still your choice whether you're going to be in it or not. You have to make the decision to say, you know what? I'm going to go to that group. You know what? I'm going to check out that church. You know what? I'm going to text my friend. You know what? I'm going to tell this person what I did, even though I made that mistake and I don't want anyone to know. I want to hide it. I don't want people to look at me differently. You know what, man? I want to live in community. I want to be known. I just don't want people to look at me and not really know who I am. I want to be able to find true community. And true community isn't just showing up to chapel or to pursuit or to church, but it's telling people who you really are. It's telling people your struggles. It's telling people what you're facing. It's telling people what you've done. And the point of confession isn't confession. The Bible says the point of confession is so that you and I can be healed. Confession brings healing. I don't want to have secrets. I don't want to have things that I've done which I don't tell anybody, and I'm living with this thing on the inside that is eating me alive because I think people are going to judge me for it, because I think I'm not going to be accepted anymore. But can I tell you all, you'll find out that people really do love you when you start letting them know your weaknesses. The Bible says that when we are weak, that's when he is most strong. I don't want to live on my own strength anymore. Done that for too long. I don't want to live based on what I'm good at and put who I am and what looks good and what sounds good and what is good. No. I want to put who I am in Jesus. And guess what? For you, that might mean just surrounding yourself with people and letting them know, like, hey, this is what I've been going through. You don't have to be perfect. That's what this whole thing is about, is that we were so imperfect that this man who we gather around came and died for us. The Bible says that while we were still sinners, while we were at our worst, that's when Christ died. He didn't die for us when we were at our best. So why do we feel the pressure to always be our best around each other? Man, I don't know about you, but I need some people who I can be my worst around, who I can be weak around, so I can be reminded that, man, it's in my greatest weakness where I'm actually the most strong. So today, as I conclude this message, just want you to be able to take this home, to first know that you're loved. Some of you might be feeling a little bit low on the love tank. Can I tell you today that Jesus wants to refill that? Jesus wants to give you the love that you need so that you can love others. Jesus also wants to show you you were designed for community, show you that you have a place in community, that you add value to those around you. The last thing that Jesus wants, he wants community for you. He doesn't want you to be isolated. The Bible says that he who isolates himself rages against wise counsel. What does that mean? Basically means he puts himself in a bad position. She puts herself in a bad position when he or she isolates themselves. We weren't meant to be isolated. We were meant to be together. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll go about our Wednesday, and I just believe Jesus, he wants to remind you today how loved you really are. God, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We know today, God, in this place that you have a great plan. And God, for those who are in this room who feel, man, how could I ever be loved? How could you ever love me? God, we thank you that we are not the deciding factor. We are not the ones who determine whether or not we're qualified to be loved. God, but through all of our disqualifications, we thank you, God, that you still love us. If there's anyone in this room that would say, you know what, with every head bowed, every eye closed, you would say, I need Jesus to remind me of how loved I am. Just been feeling like my heart's been broken. My heart's been empty. I need Jesus to just Fill my heart. Fill those cracks. Fill me up again. If that's you, you can raise your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. Go ahead and slip up your hand. Put it back down. Thank you. Thank you. God, we thank you for these hands. God, more importantly, we thank you for these hearts. God, that are yours. God, we know that you have so many great things in store. God, that even though things might seem dark at times, things might seem like there is no hope. God, we thank you that you work all things together for good. And we ask today for that love, Jesus, to fill us up and to remind us that you are good and that you have a plan. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you.